a series for the last few weeks called Conforming to the Image of God. And one of the things that has popped up in my mind over and over and over again is my need to repent. Because there are so many times that I can identify in my life and even up to this moment where I have tried to make myself into an image that I have crafted. I have made an idol over something that I thought my life should represent. Things that I think I should, that when people see me, they should see a certain somebody. My life has been lived up to this point at some times, just trying to be somebody that people recognize as important. Somebody who has significance, somebody who has a destiny that has been set forth by God. And I think that there are times where it's very easy for us, if we are really honest with ourselves, that we try to live a life and craft an image of ourselves so that we can project to other people. We try to be good parents. We try to be a good spouse. We try to have a relationship where somebody is investing in us and we take our identity in that. We try to be successful in whatever it is that we choose to be successful in. We want to be a good person. We want to be someone who is a good friend to others, that is loyal. We want to be somebody who is good in music, or we want to be somebody who is good in art, or we want somebody who is good in sports. For the longest time, the image that I tried to present myself over and over and over again is, I'm the football guy. I can knock somebody on their can better than anybody else. That's what I'm good at. And don't you forget it, because then I'll knock you on your can. That was my identity. That was the image that I presented to the world. And then when God slowly began to bring me out of that life, my identity began to change. But it was nevertheless, there were times where I tried to make an image for people to see that was my own doing. Something that I was crafting. And all the while, I feel that while we do these things, while we try to do all these things and say, you know what, a good Christian is someone who is good to the poor. A good Christian is somebody who goes to church on a regular basis. A good Christian is somebody who gives freely in their tithes and offerings. A good Christian is somebody who knows the Word. A good Christian is somebody who goes to their job and operates themselves with a sense of integrity. And while all those things may be true, those are the things that we hold up and we try to still craft an image that we're trying to represent to the world. And all the while, Jesus stands before us and says, what about me? See, when we're talking about conforming to the image of God, we're talking about me more like Christ. And all the while, Christ is standing before us. And we're trying hard to be good Christians on our own. And all we really need to do is look to Christ. Because He is the perfect everything that we could ever hope to be. He is the perfect image that you could ever hope to represent. He is the one that has done things that we can never be able to do. So wouldn't it make sense for us as Christians, in order to look attractive to the world, and also to be the people that we are called to be, wouldn't it make sense to look to Christ first and represent His image that He has already shown to the world? That's what we're looking for when we're talking about conforming to the image of Christ. We're talking about looking to Jesus. Because in the end, He's all that matters. In the end, he's the only thing that makes sense to represent to the world. Everything else is flawed. Everything else is watered down. When we point to Jesus, we point to everything. So what does it look like? What does it look like to be like Jesus? What are we shooting for? I think there are times in movies where there are actors who play God. How many of you have seen some of the old movies that George Burns played in, where he's like, oh God, those movies. Any of you remember those movies? I used to remember those as a kid, and I remember being so confused Because I would see George Burns playing God, and then I would see George Burns playing the devil. And they looked exactly the same. I think that can't possibly be how that is played out. There are other movies that I look to. There's one in particular where Morgan Freeman plays God. And he tries to give an image of himself over to somebody who is on earth and is complaining about his life. And so he gives a little bit of himself to him so that he can perhaps be a light into the world. And you know what? That's probably not what the image of God looks like, but let's take a look at it nevertheless.
Here's your soup.
Oh, soup, right. Right.
Of course, that's ridiculous. You're comparing parting the Red Sea with a cup of soup. Of course, that's a little silly. But one of the things that I like about that movie is that this guy is so frustrated with his life. He thinks he has been given a bad lot in life. And God looks down at him and says, you know what? If you think you can do better, I'm even going to give you my power. And let's see what you can do with it. And we see all throughout the movie, even though he has the very power of God in his hands, he still falls short every single time. He still finds a way to mess up. He still finds a way where he cannot accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He ends up letting himself down. He lets others down, even with the very power of God in his hands. Why is that? And I would submit to you today that perhaps conforming to the image of God has nothing to do with how powerful you think you are. It has nothing to do with the noble deeds that you can accomplish. It has nothing to do with all the things that you can do in the name of God. When it comes right down to it, conforming to the image of God has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with having the very heart and the mind of Christ. Having the heart and the mind of Christ. Because if you have the heart of Christ and you have the mind of Christ, you're able to navigate through this world and be able to point to something that is beyond yourself. You will be able to see people the way God sees them. You're able to see people in a way that is loving and compassionate and in the same way in need of truth. And so you are able to love on them. You're not able to judge them. If I had the power of God without the heart of God, people would be in trouble. Because I would have various fantasies that I could live out on how I can get back at people. Oh, you want to pass me going 95 miles an hour? You no longer have tires. And you see sparks everywhere. I'm like, see? Not going so fast now, are you? If I had the power of God without the mind of God, there are all sorts of things that would happen that would not be good. In fact, we see a couple of scenes in that movie where Bruce Almighty is trying to pull that moon closer so he could have a more romantic evening with his significant other. And as a result, tides and tsunamis are happening all over the world as a result of him using his power. You see, if he had the heart and the mind of Christ, he would be able to accomplish the will of God. So having the heart and the mind of Christ is where we're after. So what does Jesus say? What is Jesus doing? What is he calling us to? Well, let's take a look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, starting with verse 13. As you're turning there, the lead up to this is that Jesus is on the earth. People are starting to surround themselves around Jesus. And so as a result, he has all these people around him. And we see throughout his life, there are people from all over that eventually come to Jesus. There are times where we see thousands of people in the presence of Jesus just waiting for something, and then he had to feed them. There are moments where he is only around just a few. And in this passage, he takes the people who are around him, and he takes a couple with him. And he says, this is going to be my team. He had his draft day. He selected the ones that he wanted, and he grabbed a few, and he went and told them something. He said, this is what I'm calling you to. And so if we take a look at Mark chapter 3, verses 13, we'll see what that is. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. When I first read that passage, my mind was immediately drawn to preaching and casting out demons. Surely this is what God has called us to, right? Surely this is what he's wanting us to do. He wants us to preach the gospel. He wants people to be set free from demons. I don't know about you, but there's some sort of weird, dark, sadistic thing in my brain where I would love to be able to cast a demon out of somebody. I would love to have that experience. For some reason, that's something that intrigues me, where somebody who is in bondage, and then in Jesus' name, they're gone. That's something that's important, right? It kind of stinks for the person who is being in bondage for all that time, but it's something that I would love to be a part of. That's something that surely that we're supposed to be aiming for. That's something that surely we're supposed to be involved with. Preaching the gospel, setting people free from spiritual bondage. Why not, right? That's what we should be about. We have a trunk or treat that's coming up where we're having the whole community come. Wouldn't it be great that they come here and they begin to interact with some of the people who are having trunks, and they'd be able to talk with somebody, and they'll be able to recognize, just like people used to recognize with some of those apostles. They're not maybe all that educated. They may not be all this or whatever, but one thing I do know is that they've been with Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be great if we had that kind of influence in our community? Wouldn't that be great that we can engage the community on a regular basis where we're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we, if the Lord's will, set people free from spiritual bondage. We could be used in the way the apostles were used back then. But there's a phrase that is before that. There's a phrase that sometimes I am very eager to look over, because the exciting part, the preaching the good news part, the setting people free part, there's something at the very beginning that we need to take a look at. And it says in Mark chapter 14, so that they might be with him. You see, in order for us to conform to the image of God, we have to learn the simplicity of what he has called us to, why he came here to this earth. He doesn't need people to go out and do whatever he can. Scripture talks about how creation already speaks of God's attributes, how creation already proclaims to the whole world who he is. So why does he choose to use us? Why does he choose to save us? He wants to be with us. And so in order to have the heart and the mind of Christ, we have to get down to the simplicity of just spending time with Jesus. Just being with Jesus. There are times in my life where I have been in a room with somebody for an extended period of time, and I've been able to glean something out of them. I've been able to say, yes, that person truly has joy. That person has all the peace in the world, despite all of the things that are going on around them. They're able to be at peace. I'm able to be in a room at times, and just for a moment, my life can be encouraged. Imagine what it was like to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a 24-hour-a-day basis. Just being in His presence, being loved by Him, being encouraged by Him, laughing at His jokes. That must have been very encouraging. And there is something that is good news for you today, is that Jesus Christ can be with you just the way He was back then, spending every waking moment that you have being in your presence. It's a question of, were we taking advantage of that? Are we being encouraged by the presence of God? Are we learning His heart and His mind? Because it is only by then that we're able to do anything else. God will never empower you for a mission that He did not authorize. And He will never send you on a mission unless you have first spent time with Him. You spend time with Him, you get to know His heart. You spend time with Him, you get to know His mind. And it is then you're able to be empowered to go to where you need to go to preach the gospel and to set people free in the name of Jesus. But first, you have to spend time with Him. The first point that I have is if you want to have the heart and the mind of Christ, you must first be with God. Be with Him. I think of other passages of Scripture where at times it's very easy to get involved with work. It's very easy to be involved with things that have to be done. There are times where we can get through our day and we have gone through the whole day and we feel like we have been busy. And then it is only then that when we are lying in our beds, we start thinking, you know what, I haven't prayed to God. We haven't spent any time in His presence. I've been too busy doing things. And I think there are times where we can be so involved with what we're doing, we can be so hurried to get through one thing to another that we can sometimes miss out on the important things. I think of Mary and Martha, where Martha is busy going around and Jesus is in her home. This is a big deal. This is something that she's been waiting for her whole life, to have the King of the universe sitting in her living room, where she can serve Him a cup of tea. And she's around and she's doing things and she's organizing this great event where the great teacher is there in her living room spending time with people. Of course, it's important that people feel welcomed and that they have everything. And she's busy and she's busy and she's busy. And her sister is just spending time, not leaving for a moment the very foot of Jesus. Just standing there, listening, waiting to hear the next word out of His mouth. And she complains, "Oh Lord, my sister is here, just she hasn't helped me at all, and there's all these things that have to be done." And Jesus very quickly and very non-abrasively, gently, that's the word I'm looking for, gently tells her, "She has chosen what is better." It's very easy for us to get wrapped up in the things that we should be doing. But have you stopped for a moment to consider that where you should be starting with is not how you should be living your life and how you should be doing this one thing or whether you should not be doing this other thing. The very first step is just being with Jesus. I guarantee you, if you spend time just being with Jesus, all the other stuff will end up working itself out anyway. You can't be in the presence of Jesus and continue to sin. You can't continue to be in the presence of Jesus and continue to live your life whatever the way you feel like it. See, when you're in the presence of Jesus, you have the very heart and the mind of Christ. You begin to be shaped and transformed into who He's called you to be. We have to first start out with being with Jesus. Could you turn with me to John chapter 15? John chapter 15, starting with verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. See, without Christ, without being in His presence, anything that we have to do anyways is not going to be empowered by Him. It's not going to have the internal significance that He would have. We must first be willing to abide in Him. It is only then that we can be who God has called us to be. You want to conform to the image of God? You want to have the heart and mind of Christ? We must first abide. One of the things that we as Pentecostals point to over and over and over again is the role of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, on our mission statement, which was pointed out by our great speaker last week, is part of our mission statement says we exist to partner with the Holy Spirit. You see, that is how we can spend time in the presence of Christ, is because He has sent us the Holy Spirit. We can have relationship with Him. We can have relationship with Christ. We can have relationship with God because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. He convicts of sin. He points and leads and guides into all truth. But it is only by us partnering with the Holy Spirit that we're able to do the things that God has called us to do. You see, we can have every bit of a relationship with Jesus Christ as the apostles did, even though they saw Him face to face, lived with Him, saw Him at every moment of His life on this earth. We can have that exact same life. We just have to realize that the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way. You see, when we give our life to Christ, it says in the book of John, that the Holy Spirit takes residence in us. He dwells in us. God's presence that used to dwell in the temple, when Christ's death happened, the curtain that separated that inner place from the rest of the world was torn from top to bottom. And His presence was able to go throughout all of the world. And then Jesus encountered His disciples after He was resurrected, and He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." From that moment on, the Holy Spirit resided in their hearts and lives. So my question to you is this: how is it possible for somebody to give their life to Christ in faith and continue to live their lives and not bear at all the image of Christ? I tell you one thing, there are many times where I've talked with people who are lonely, people who feel like they are all by themselves in this world, and you look around them and they have everybody around them, but yet they still feel lonely. There are times in the darkest moments in my life where I felt I was all by myself, but I was surrounded with friends, I was surrounded by family members, I was surrounded by pastors, and all the while, I felt I am all by myself. It wasn't until I realized that the King of the universe, that the God of all creation, lives and resides in my life. And not only does He reside there, He wants to be there. He wants to show me love. He wants to show me care. I just have to take the time to allow Him to be in my life. I just have to take the time to hear His voice. You ever heard the voice of God? Perhaps you're too busy. Perhaps you have been spending your time listening to everything else that you haven't taken the time to shut out everything else so that you can only hear the voice of God speak to you. We go back to Mark chapter 3. It starts out with so that they might be with Him, but then it says that He might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. The way Jesus did ministry is to say He brought people with Him. He brought them around. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Now let's go out together and preach the gospel. Let's go out together and accomplish ministry. When we spend time with Christ, when we spend time in the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to enrich us and to guide us and lead us into all truth, when we spend time in the presence of God, we are going to hear His heart and mind. And His heart and mind is go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go making sure that people hear who I am. Go making sure that people are being set free by the truth that Jesus came to save, to seek and to save the lost. That is the very mission of God. You want to have the heart and the mind of Christ? First, we must be with God. But the second thing is we have to go along in working with God. See, a lot of times I think we get this idea that once God is with us and once He has set us free and we have salvation in our hearts and our minds, there are times where I feel like I say, okay, I agree with that. I've been set free, but now I've been given a task, and I start walking, and I realize that I'm walking all by myself. Why? Because I feel like I have to do these tasks, and not once do I ever rely on the Holy Spirit. Not once do I ever hear what He has to say. I spend time here thinking, okay, I'm here, I'm saved, I've been delivered, then I go, and I stop listening. And I think all the while, God is with us every step of the way, empowering us, speaking to our hearts and our minds. If we only listened to what He had to say, if we only worked with Him, that's what our mission statement is about, is we want to partner with the Holy Spirit. Not be sent out by Him and then leave the Holy Spirit wherever we think He is. One of the perfect pictures that I see of the church is in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 42. Before we take a look at what the perfect church looks like here in Scripture, let's take a look at a video clip that tries to demonstrate what a perfect church looks like and how we pursue a perfect church.
This season on Top Church.
The only reason I'd attend this church is if I was in a hearse.
One man is on a mission to find the perfect church.
Well, here's the sanctuary. Got a whole different kind of pew in here, don't you?
Can't find the perfect church, they'll berate and harass one lucky congregation into perfection.
Morning.
You call that a answer?
You dress yourself this morning.
I've been greeted better at the DMV.
How many people do you think you turned right on out of the parking lot when they saw you?
Has to be double digits. Now I'm a Muslim. A Muslim. That's right. I'm a visitor who's now walking down the street to a mosque where they can put a bulletin in my hand. So I'm a Muslim! Thanks to you!
Who are these people? Do you have any sort of quality controls? Anybody in here, don't you?
Are you kidding me?
Here we go.
Where's your long hair, are you bald? Highlights.
You got a V-neck?
No, of course not. How about some skinny jeans?
Sure, pick on the worship leader. Easy target.
This is an outrage. This is the tightest spacing I've seen in Nile in 8 seasons of coaching churches. 8 seasons! Atrocious! Abysmal.
Atheistic.
This is so bad it makes me question the existence of God.
Oh! And this coffee, because it was brewed by Satan himself.
Which might actually be in your favor, because I want someone to pray for me now.
Oh, you don't know.
Then get out!
She's won. We haven't gone over David and Bathsheba.
Then you get out!
Okay.
We just pick a tempo. 15 times through the chorus is enough, I think. This is good. This is good. The message is on suffering, so perfect.
I know we're in Matthew right now, but just... put your thumb
the
in.
The message is supposed to make us think about eternity, not feel eternal itself. All right? And having everybody out, shut it down. Shut it down.
Gordon Ramsay's quest for perfection continues on another exciting season of Top Church.
They said it couldn't be done,
but I think I finally did it.
The perfect church.
I think there are times where we can take ourselves too seriously. We start nitpicking at every little detail. We start criticizing every little thing in order to be the perfect church. And in reality, none of us are perfect. None of us can accomplish everything that we would like to do. I read a quote recently from George Whitefield who said that trying to get to heaven on your own works is like trying to climb up there on a rope of sand. Every time you try to grab, your hand just falls through, and you try to grab, and there's never any ground that you could ever make. And I think there are times when we're trying to do things in the name of God, we take ourselves too seriously. And as a result, we ended up missing out on the heart and the mind of Christ. Let's be creative. Let's go out and work hard for the sake of the gospel. But let's make sure that we are spending time in His presence and that we are actually accomplishing the mission that He has called us to. And that is to preach the gospel. You take a look in the book of Acts, that's what was going on. They preached the gospel. They let people know that there is a Savior. And they showed them love and care. Let's read. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, we go on mission because Christ is already on mission. When we spend time in His presence, He is already there working on the hearts and minds of people. So it is only natural for us to start looking outside of ourselves. It is only natural for us to make sure that we as a body are taken care of. It is only natural for us to start looking to those who are lost, because that is who Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is looking for. If we are walking with Jesus and we're spending time with Him, He's already going to take us to people who are lost. If you're not going to the lost, the question remains is, are you walking with Jesus? Are you spending time with Him? Are you obeying His command to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Jesus has already given us everything. He's given us enough. We have so much to be thankful for. Are you taking advantage of that? Are you spending time in His presence? He's already initiated the relationship. Are you spending time with Him? He has given us a mission to accomplish to a world that is dark and that is lost. Are you working with Him? Are you going into all the world and preaching the gospel? We have an opportunity coming up for trunk and treat. We also have other things that are going on where we can be a part of what God is doing here at this church. One of them is very practical. We just heard about an opportunity to invest in a van. Do you know how many times that this church has received calls from people who are interested in coming to the church but have no transportation? Wouldn't it be great if this church had a vehicle to go there just to pick up people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? We had calls from Syracuse University. Do you have a van? Because there are people here that would like to go to your church. They either saw us on our website or they wanted to go to just the Assembly of God Church. We had to turn them away. So whether it is through you investing in what we're doing here, whether it is you investing in missions like we talked about last week, one of the things that I liked about what John Blondo had to say is everybody is involved with the commission to go out and preach the good news. Everyone is involved. So are you. With that, have those who are going to help us serve communion. We're going to take a time to remember what Jesus has done for us. Spending time in the presence of the Lord, thanking Him for what He's done. And afterwards, we're going to spend some time in prayer and spending time with God and asking Him to speak to us.